It's good to be living that fat cat lifestyle, my dude. Oh, God.
Can you believe all those years of scrimping and scraping and just working so hard on the pod? We finally fucking did it, man. Elon can suck it.
And I've already gotten my future secured. I'm looking at a pretty nice retirement situation here, man.
I love it.
Yeah. I didn't tell you about it. So with my, you know... As when we sold the rights to the pod, I think, well, we got a good $500 billion or something.
The most beautiful chunk of change I've ever seen.
Insane. I didn't even know pods could be valued that high.
Neither did I.
It was crazy. Those idiots at Spotify don't know what to hit them. But, yeah, so with my 250, my cool 250 bill, I decided, you know, I want everything to be taken care of long into my old age. So I've decided to donate it all 250 bill, to a small Southern Maine community college that used to go by a different name, but because I gave 250 billion, they basically let me do whatever I want now. I've got a whole penthouse suite in the medical science building just at the top. I like cleared everything. I went in there with like a bullwhip and like a bathrobe.
Wait.
And started like screaming at students, get out!
So what'd you name it?
I named the college Jackson's Pretty Good College. You know.
Okay.
It went by something a little bit more prestigious. But I was kind of like, we're not here to be the best. We're here to be pretty good. And, you know, in exchange for that, the college lets me do whatever I want. I've converted the whole top floor into a penthouse suite. And I've also installed a little fire pole that goes from my penthouse through all the classrooms. So that whenever I need to leave in my bathrobe, I'll be like flying down this fire pole.
Flashing all the students.
Flashing everybody.
Fantastic. Lawsuits abound.
Do whatever I want. $250 billion. That lawsuit fund is flush.
So that's what you're doing with your money.
Yeah. I also, like, built a bat cave under it. Got a Batmobile. And sometimes at night, I fight the security guards.
I'm feeling it. Let's do it. Moose crossings, red hot dogs, missing persons in salty bogs. Up to camp with Stephen King. River curses, Wesley sings. Homegrown horror!
It's crazy. It's party.
Party.
Hello! Hello! And welcome to Homegrown Horror!
Holy shit. It's spooky season, so Jackson's loud.
The horror! Yes, it's the beginning of Spooktober.
I started decorating in August.
Yeah, dude, like a CVS, you're ready as soon as Valentine's Day was over.
Although, so I'm Bea, a co-host.
I'm Jackson, a co-host.
And one of the things that I hate the most is when they're like, oh yeah, we're going to put our Halloween stuff out, but the Christmas stuff's also going out.
Yeah! At the same time, yeah, it's kind of a mad mash, you know?
How dare you?
That's why the Nightmare Before Christmas worked so well, because it was like the opposite holidays, like
trying to be... Poor Thanksgiving. Just sandwiched between these two.
You know, that's all. Thanksgiving, overrated. I personally think traditional Thanksgiving, very overrated.
It is.
I am about Friendsgiving, though.
I love Friendsgiving.
Thanksgiving, like family, no offense to family. So, you know, if you like your family's great. I love my family. But it's like, I don't know. Thanksgiving just feels like it has too much weight associated with it for a family. And it's like, oh, the turkey's got to be right. And it's always dry. Doesn't matter what you do. There's one year I remember that the turkey was fucking perfect, but it was an insane amount of work that needed to occur to happen. It was a brining.
It is required, insane.
You know?
Like, I think in 2020, because obviously not a lot of people got together in 2020.
No.
We just got, like, one of the, like, ready-to-go chickens.
That's, like, dude, honestly.
And I was like, this is great. I spent the most time on the potatoes, because personally,
that's potatoes.
That's what I care about.
Oh my God, Emily made some amazing mashed potatoes the other day that had like the dill and all the fixings. And I was like, I wanted to like bathe in it.
Potatoes are
I wanted to stick my feet in it.
We had an icebreaker at work, which is like, if you could only eat one food for the rest of your life, what would it be? A lot of us said potatoes because there's so many ways you can eat it. And it's sort of like a loophole food. But the thing is, like, you can do fries. You can do baked potato. You can do, I would venture to say, like, you could do mashed. The one thing that I won't do, fuck scalloped potatoes.
I'll love scalloped potatoes. Hell yeah.
Fuck scalloped potatoes.
Oh, so good. Get that in a fucking pan, you know, get a nice sauce on that. Oh, yeah, baby.
No, disgusting.
Love it. It's just a goopy, it's like casserole mess. It's wonderful. I actually answered this question recently during, I went to Miami and Atlanta for work last week. Boo-hoo me.
No.
And, you. by the way, Miami, fucking weird city. Like, very strange. I was there in March recently, and I was in the Wynwood neighborhood, which is a historical Puerto Rican neighborhood. And I mentioned that to somebody, and they're like, not Cuban? I'm like, no, this is a Puerto Rican neighborhood. Yeah, there are Cubans everywhere, but this is specifically Puerto Rican. And, like, it's gentrifying at such an insane rate. Like, every week there's, like, a new restaurant. And, like, when I was there last time, I could see, like, four hotels being built within, like, eyesight.
Oh, my God.
Like, it was insane. And that was, like, but that was sort of, like, this is a cool hipster, like, spring break party spot is what the vibe was. But then Miami felt like I went to a sky bar, a rooftop bar, and I was like looking around and I'm like, this straight up like assassins and like OnlyFans models in this like bar. It was.
And you.
And me.
And you're neither of those things.
Neither of those things. Yeah. But I was like looking around and I'm just like, that dude kills people. That dude kills people. That guy sells drugs and then kills people. It's like so crazy. And this was like a bar with like, you know, reserved tables. You gotta add, there's a cover on like how much you have to spend at the fucking table, you know?
Holy shit.
And like, I had a great time. You know,
you expense the shell out of that shit.
My coworker took care of it. I'm not worrying about whatever deal she has to make there with the oligarchs. and like, I did think it was kind of funny because I'm not, when I say OnlyFans models, there was like a bunch of influencers, obvious influencers, people with the fucking like camera.
Are they
arms.
Sinfluencers?
I may, yes, maybe. I don't know. Hey, I'm not here to slut shame.
No.
You know, it's like, but I wouldn't.
Get your bag, baby girl.
Hey, get your bag.
Boys.
Dude, okay. I was telling my coworkers, though, I think I've said this on the pod already before.
Yeah.
Or I've told you, at least. But I would definitely start an OF.
Oh, absolutely.
But I would just do feet pics. Like, if I could just do well manicured, well shot foot pictures that are like high quality. And like the weird shit. Like, stick my foot in mashed potatoes. Absolutely.
Yes.
In a pie. In like a fully decorated cake.
Oh my God.
Just like stick my feet in things and like do other fun things. Like, oh, here's me and my feet at the beach wiggling my toes and that's
all right. Well, Jackson was doing that and Jackson was in Miami contemplating starting an OnlyFans. I did the opposite of what you did.
You kind of did, actually. Yeah.
I did the exact opposite. And that's why we're recording on a Wednesday, because we've never traveled back to back to get like that. I took my wife to Acadia for our anniversary because our trip actually fell smack dab in the middle of our wedding anniversary and our engagement anniversary.
Hot damn, Batman.
Yes. So we went to Acadia and we camped, and two nights it was like glorious, gorgeous. The second night we were there, it was balls cold.
It was super cold.
Like, the first night I slept with my sleeping bag open, and the first night was beautiful. And then the second night I was like, I'm freezing. And then the next night was fine again.
Interesting. So there's just that one weird cold pocket.
Yeah, one weird cold pocket. But we hiked. We went to Jordan Pond, which is where we got married. And I do want to tell this little story where, so I had this brilliant idea because the Acadia website is like, you know what you can do? You can go to Jordan Pond to stargaze. That's where we got married. And cool. I was like, amazing. That would be so romantic. Let's do it. So it's like 8 o'clock, which now is very dark.
Yes.
And so we drive to Jordan Pond. There's one person in the parking lot and they promptly pull away. So they were probably finishing up. And so I was like, okay, there's nobody here.
Yeah.
And at first, I'm like, okay, maybe it'll be fine. I was wholly unprepared for how empty it felt.
I love that. Oh my God.
So we walk down in the dark.
Yeah.
And it's just, so I wish I had brought my lantern. That probably would have made me feel better, but I just had my phone. Good, yeah. So we go down to the water.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like low-key like panic. Like, it's just, I did not expect it to feel so empty.
Yeah.
And I think part of it is because we had been there the other day. And I was telling you the fact that, like, I love Acadia. I did not love how packed it was. And that's mm-hmm. the first time I've experienced that, where it's like everything is packed like to the gills.
Right.
And so I think having been there the day before and we had to wait like 2 hours to get a popover, like, it was very weird being there. And it's like, there's not a fucking soul here. So we go down. Both of us are just sort of like, our hearts are like pounding. And so we stand at because the day we had, before when we had gone there, we weren't able to get to the area where we got married because someone was taking photos. They had like their whole like long exposure setup going on. So we actually were able to get there, and we stood where we got married with only the stars as our witnesses, and we made our intentions for our next year of marriage.
That's nice.
Which was very sweet. I promptly dragged Allegra up the fucking, like, up the hill back to the car. She's, like, behind me, like, and I'm like, I'm sorry,
you gotta
I'm sorry.
Go.
Allegra's like, Allegra was like, I had every, like, intention and, like, the same, like go as you did, but my body did not have the energy for it.
It was just like, no.
Nor the endurance. So I basically dragged her up the hill back to the car. So it was a very nice moment for a moment. I think if we had actually, like, gone there and, like, we had been there from, like, dusk to, like, while there was a sunset.
Yeah.
Might have felt more comfortable. I also think I thought there was going to be more people because they were like, stargaze at Jordan Pond. And I was like, cool, this is something people do. It's very dark, but you probably would have eaten it up because you like that.
I like going on a trail and, like, well, I like being in the woods at night because I think it's very, probably for the same reasons you're scared of it, I enjoy it because it's like kind of eerie, kind of creepy, and it's like, ooh, a little bit dangerous almost. Even though forest in New England, not too worried. Not too worried. Not too worried. Black bears are wimps.
Did you hear that, everybody? Jackson's going to go fight a black bear.
I'm not going to go fight it. I'm just going to go bang some pots and pans together. Man's going to run away like a loser.
But it was still very nice, and I very much enjoyed it. But I think I had mentioned also in the Allagash abduction episode, where the last time we went camping, same campground we were at this time, just laying in bed at night, and then almost all the sound just ceased.
I love that. It's terrifying.
Jackson loves to be terrified.
Well, it's like, okay, so that when all sound ceases, that does scare me, especially if, like, I just heard crickets, I heard, like, mm-hmm. some small wildlife rustling about, and then absolutely nothing. That's, like, usually a sign of a predator.
Yeah.
Which isn't good, but also New England forest. Black bear. Come on. Who's going to win? Black bear or me banging a pot against a tree?
Oh, but you know what else is scary?
College.
Yeah.
If you're dumb, just kidding. If you're broke.
I was going to say, if you have student loans.
Much scarier. Welcome. Hey, maybe that's what Biden intended for October repayments. Just like, ooh, this will give them a spook. This will be really fitting with the theme.
Especially the school we're talking about today.
Oh, my good. Lord have mercy on your soul. If you sold? Soul. Yeah, you did. Soul it. If you went to this one, today we're going to be talking about a couple of the creepy and spooky haunts of Bowdoin College. Now, if you're not from the area, you're probably like, what is a boat in college? Fair question. Still not sure. But this is the information that I found for you. I've been by the campus as well, so I have
I've spent a lot of time in one building on the campus because I worked for 3 years at Maine State Music Theater.
Very cool.
And they use the Pickard Theater. So I spent a lot of time in that building. More time than I would have liked.
How would you describe Bowdoin? I'll just read this here.
It's a quintessential New England college. Like, in the movies, that's what it looks like.
That's 100% what it is. This is like a small version of Yale.
Yes.
In
an area, absolutely.
In an area that makes more sense.
Correct.
If you've been to New Haven, you know. But it's a private liberal arts college in Brunswick, Maine, already a small town. The college is the oldest college in Maine, actually, having been chartered in 1794 and instruction beginning in it in 1802. 1794. Holy shit.
That's old.
That's old as hell.
Fucking old.
It's over 200 years. It's crazy, yeah. Man. It's almost all of our history of this nation. The school was named for James Bowdoin. Makes sense. He was a statesman and a first president of the American Academy of Arts and Sciences.
Yeah.
Receiving much of his initial endowment from his son. Ooh, a little reverse Uno card here.
Interesting.
Now the son is the moneymaker, the inheritance giver.
Ooh.
Fun fact here, women were admitted to Bowdoin. When do you think women were admitted to Bowdoin?
1960.
Very close. 1971. Little late. Late on the uptake there, Bowdoin.
Bowdoin!
But,
which is actually really interesting because you know who else lived in Brunswick?
Who?
Harriet Beecher Stowe.
True! And they have, like, don't they have, like, a wing of a library named after her?
I think so.
That's pretty interesting that it took that long.
Yeah, you know, we love the fact that our local women writers are so prolific. She wrote Uncle Tom's Cabin, but, you know, she can't fucking come to our school.
I won't allow it. No.
Crazy.
Boys out of my fort. Or girls out of my fort.
That's insane.
It is crazy, man. Noteworthy alumni that aren't Harriet Beecher Stowe include U.S. President Franklin Pierce.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Nathaniel Hawthorne.
I'm pretty sure I knew that.
Another one you probably know is Henry Wadsworth Longfellow.
My boy.
Famous Maine poet. We love this guy.
Yeah. My wife is named after one of his poems.
Indeed. Mm-hmm. Indeed.
I wanted to cover his wife's death so bad, but she died in Massachusetts.
Damn it. Why did you have to go back? Could have died in Maine, and then you would have been featured on this podcast. Really short-term thinking, lady. U.S. Speaker of the House, Thomas Brackett Reed, and Arctic explorers, Robert E. Parriott and Donald B. McMillan. They probably, I don't know, went for communications degrees, because as far as I can tell, Arctic explorers aren't very bright.
King Shackleton is unperturbed, Jackson.
Shackleton. I love that. Have you seen, like, the Shackleton documentary?
I have not. I want to because one of the shows that I did with Snow Lion was called...
Not documentary. There's the dramatization.
Yes.
Yeah.
So one of the shows that we did was called Journey to the South Pole, or Conquest of the South Pole, sorry. And it is one of my favorite shows. It was an adaptation of a European... I can't remember what language it was originally in, but it was a European play, and they adapted it to take place in Maine.
Mm.
And it is one of my favorites. But so I do want to watch Shackleton because, like, basically what it is these Rumford. It's these out-of-work guys in Rumford who they role play as Shackleton's party in the South Pole as a way to work through their problems. And it's stunning.
I think that's hilarious. That's a very...
It's one of my favorite shows I've ever worked on.
That's very high concept. That's really creative. I love that.
It's amazing. I love it so very much.
The Shackleton, like, series is also pretty good. I remember watching that pretty much when it was, like, going on.
Yeah.
Fascinated by it for some reason as a 12-year-old. Just loved watching men struggle in the cold. We're going to be talking about a couple buildings, though. Mm-hmm. As we know, long time to be around as a college. You're probably going to have some ghouls and ghosts with all that.
I bet.
And again, it is very much like brick building, old buildings. We're talking
gorgeous.
Like gorgeous campus.
I love the campus is stunning.
But also tiny student body. I think it's about 1,500 students at a time can be attending Bowdoin.
Yeah.
So it's, even though doing, you know, it's like very impressive grounds wise, it's like not a huge
population. It's kind of fucking expensive for a main college.
It is fucking expensive. I guess being the oldest college gives you that weight.
Because yeah. After I had worked at Main State, I was like, oh, maybe I should have applied to Bowdoin. And then I saw the price tag and I was like, I'm so glad I didn't apply to Bowdoin.
Do they have like any financial... Anyway, we don't need to have this conversation.
I bet there is, but you know, whatevs, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, yeah, we'll cover 30%. 30% of $100,000 a year. Thank you so much, sir.
Yeah.
Anyway, and we're going to be talking about a couple buildings, but we're going to first talk about Adams Hall.
It's a dorm, I assume.
Adams
Hall are usually dorms, right?
This is actually, no, it's not a dorm. It's actually a classrooms.
You're right. I'm just being
halls can be.
I'm
halls
being
can
foolish.
Be, halls can be a lot of things. I think you can name anything a hall.
Oh.
I'm going to name this fucking office a hall. Welcome to the Homegrown Horror Hall. Ooh, you like that? You want to etch that on a black pat? Play. You want to etch that on a black plaque,
yes,
with gold lettering? Yeah.
And then I'm gonna get an etching of the Dungeven Hooter.
Just the Dungeven
Hooter.
Just underneath. Hooter. Sniff. In quotations.
Okay. That's our motto here at Homegrown Horror Hall.
Yep, because we love cocaine. Adams Hall, been around for a while, but in 1862, it became home to the Maine Medical School. Also, another fun fact, Bowdoin is the site of one of Maine's first medical school, being in Adams Hall. Building's been recently renovated back in 2007, but there's still a lot of the old aesthetics to it.
So, when was this medical school?
Started in 1862.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Continue.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. I'm putting a big pin in that.
Okay. Yep.
I want to know about these hauntings.
Well, it's kind of interesting. I think the creepiest part is the medical school itself.
Jackson, you're just proving my point. Continue,
The medical school sat on the top floor of Adams Hall, but they would do a lot of dissections of cadavers.
Jackson, you're playing right into my hand. Continue. Yeah.
And they would use a very interesting pulley system from the basement where they had a moratorium, basically. They would take their cadavers, hoist them up on black hooks all the way up to the top floor, where then the bodies would be ready to be dissected in front of the students.
Mm-hmm.
So you can know what a pancreas is and why you should not have one. What was interesting, though, in the recent renovation that I mentioned back in 07, was that as they were removing floorboards from some of the areas in Adams Hall, they had noticed that the floorboards were actually from coffins. There's like a lot of the floorboards were like, yep, this was from a coffin. This was reused from a coffin, presumably one that had, you know, transported a body to be examined. Now, it's got a little bit of a creepy history, but there's also some ghost stories that have come out of Adams Hall. Typically, you know, from students, but it was quite a range of people. One female student climbed up into the medical area and claimed to see a shadowy figure while studying. Oh, sorry. Didn't climb up. She was in the basement. She saw a shadowy figure when she was studying in the basement.
Okay, I see. Yes, I see.
She stood to approach, and just when she looked over to it, the figure vanished. There's also some... One couple students were studying as well in the Adams Hall, looked about, and saw a wispy blue-green light dancing in a doorway. And when they tried to go towards it, it vanished. A lot of different stories like this, you know, corner of the eye, shadow person, strange lights being experienced. Everybody seems to have a story to tell, especially security officers, it would seem.
I would not want to be a security officer there.
Now, did you know also that there is an area of Adams Hall that is used as costume storage for Picker Theater?
I did not know that.
Okay, I was curious if that, you know.
No, because we didn't mess around in there. Yeah, because we had our own costume storage, which was at another haunted location, which is the fort. That's where Main State's costume storage is, which is because they rent the theater. So they are separate from Bowdoin's theater program.
Whoa, okay.
But yeah.
One student, when she was tasked to go get some costumes from the basement in this costume storage area, also saw a shadowy figure, but she kept staring at it, trying to figure out if her eyes would adjust to the dark to see what she was looking at, and the figure became less and less, you know, solid. So, pretty crazy.
I fucking hate that. Let me know before you move on from the medical school because I have notes.
Well, there's another, there's just more stories.
Yes.
And so one day an ambulance was seen pulling outside of Adams Hall. The custodian was being wheeled out on a stretcher and he could be heard repeating constantly that I was pushed. He had been found at the bottom of the stairs by a coworker when he was left alone in the building. Another custodian also talked about how while vacuuming the third floor, his vacuum cleaner suddenly stopped. And when he went to go check the cord, he saw that it was perfectly plugged in and the vacuum started up again. That sounds like just faulty wiring.
That sounds like we've talked about that at Romy Andrews. Yeah,
I'm not giving any clearance to that, credence to that. I'm not giving any clearance either.
You are not clear to move forward with this story.
There was a story of an employee that went to go unlock her office or was in her office late finishing a project. And when she went to go get to her door, it was locked. As she went to get the key and began to unlock the door, the entire door started shaking. But she went ahead, unlocked the door, opened it, and found nothing. Wow.
I probably would just be like, you know, I'm just going home. I'm clocking out for the day. We'll do this. We'll deal with this in the morning.
Another story also involves a custodian coming back and forth, trying to, you know, leave, and was clearing out the building when, as he was heading outside, he looked back, he flipped the circuits, you know, so power's shut down. Mm-hmm. But he looked back and saw that there was light coming from the top floor of the building. Instead of going to go check it out, he dipped. He was like, nope.
See, I am of the same mind as this guy.
I fucking love
it. I will live another day.
That's all I have for Adams Hall.
Okay,
very quickly, though, I'm very sorry, but I just want to give a quick shout out to a website that hosts a lot of these stories because, you know, as I've told before, it's very hard to actually find a decent, you know, set of stories available. So there is an individual who has documented a lot of these.
Oh,
he's made a book.
Awesome.
He's made a website. David R. Francis, who wrote Haunted Bowdoin College. He also made a website as well that kind of gives a quick little, you know, pinpoint of all the different little hauntings that have happened on Bowdoin. Historical campus, a lot going on. There's many more buildings that we're not going to be talking about. So if you want to hear more, go ahead and check out David R. Francis' book.
So, because the reason I asked.
Yeah.
And you just fell right into my little clutches.
You fell for my trap card.
You did, right into my trap card. I think I've mentioned it before on the podcast, but in the 18th century, there was this thing that medical schools would do, which is buying cadavers that had been provided by gravediggers.
Oh, yes. I've heard about this.
So a lot of the cadavers that were used were illegally gotten.
It was very hard to find bodies.
It was very, very hard to find bodies. And I was just looking at an article because I was trying to like pinpoint some dates. So we know that in the 1700s, it was definitely a thing. But the last one that I was able to find was in Harvard in the 1840s, where they were getting their bodies from a janitor for $25 a body.
That's really cheap. What a sweet deal.
That's 20. Let me see. What is $25 in those days? But I think I've also mentioned
1840. Oh, yeah, true.
Yeah. So my other thing. So one of my favorite books when I was in high school was Tess Gerritsen, who is a Maine author, called The Bone Garden, which is about, it's like twofold. It's about this person who is looking at like, they're trying to like go through historical documents to figure out what the hell happened with these murders.
Right.
And then we also jump back to the past when the murders are occurring. And it's this story of this medical student who, in order to pay for college at Harvard, is grave digging.
Mm.
And he gets involved with this woman who is an Irish immigrant, and like her, I think it was her sister was murdered. So she gets involved in trying to, it's perfection. It's so good. But like, that's why I'm like very obsessed with this whole thing. but let's see, 1840, but what is it called?
Inflation?
Inflation calculator.
How could you forget about inflation? That's all I hear about these days.
All right.
I was curious the other day because I was like, I've been making the same amount of money for like 3 years at this point, and I feel like I have less buying power. And then I was like, oh yeah, inflation.
So, $25 a cadaver is $882.26 in today's money.
Still pretty low.
I think that's really low for a full body. Absolutely. But so that definitely makes sense to me that this, not only just because, oh, cadavers, but it's also like, if you have been disinterred from your eternal resting place and sent over to a bunch of, 20-year-olds to fucking just poke around in. Yeah, I'd be pissed too.
Yeah, I would haunt the shit out of that place.
Yeah, I also, like, have you ever seen the bodies exhibit?
I'd be like, you laughed at my penis.
Have you ever seen the bodies exhibit?
Yes, I don't understand it's allowed to
exist. It makes me very uncomfortable.
It's very strange. It's
I refuse.
It's like Japanese prisoners, right? Or like there's a couple of prisoners in there, right?
What? See, like, I just always assumed that it was people who donated their bodies to science. That makes me even more uncomfortable.
There's one guy I think that like, yes, willingly donated his body to,
they're like,
to this, but then there, I think there's a couple like prisoners. I don't know.
There's like a lot of bodies.
A lot of bodies.
Because it's been, when we were at the Museum of Science when it was there, I was like we're walking past it very quickly.
I feel like
there's a, because there's,
how do they keep those bodies so preserved? Like, they encase them or something? It's wild.
It's fucking wild.
Yeah.
It's wild. And it's,
I remember,
weird.
God, I remember that. That's been touring forever now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I remember when that was happening and when I was living in Connecticut and I was like 11. Yeah. Long time, dude.
Yeah. The answer is always no. But so for me, the fact that you're like, this is the one that's the most haunted, I'm like, no fucking shit.
I didn't say it was the most haunted.
Is there more?
There's more, B. We have more haunts.
Things. Yes.
All right. So our next stop on this mini Bowdoin ghost tour is Hubbard Hall, the former school library. It's a huge structure. 2.5 story, is T-shaped, features a slightly raised basement and a steep pitched gable roof. The 177-foot-long northern facade is punctuated at its center with a square, 100-foot-tall, crenellated tower.
I think I've seen this
building. You definitely have. It's very distinct.
I've 100% seen this building.
Gothic Revival. Ghosts love Gothic Revival.
They do. They fucking love it. They have great taste.
They have excellent taste. Features a gargoyle as well. You got a gargoyle on that bitch. Gargoyle was given a little love, TLC, you know, because it's been there for quite a while, so it was looking a little rough recently, so it's been updated.
Oh, nice.
Now, Hubbard Hall. Unlike Ruby Andrews' dorm, this place actually has people who died in it. Gasp.
Okay, so we're ticking the boxes. Cadavers, check. People actually dying, check.
Check. We got the fixings for maybe some real haunts here.
Yeah, fuck Roby Andrews.
Seriously, what the hell, man?
This is probably the most exciting haunting. This is like the most like correct. Like it's like yes, we are doing it. This is it, friends.
This is it, my friends. We've been building up to this moment.
I'm so happy.
Now we're ready for release.
I'm so happy.
We'll start with the most tragic.
Oh.
Well, I mean, we'll go through these a little quickly. On a very wintry and cold morning, Athern Daggett, a professor of government and a member of the class of 1925, was outside, came out of the hall, and slipped on the icy front steps, and then died later in the hospital. The iron rails were added after the fact.
Oh.
So, rough times. An economics professor had a heart attack and died in his office on the second floor.
Why are all these people dying at work?
Stress. I think that this is a lesson that we could learn from this situation. And
also, I'm pretty sure at this point we have workers' compensation in Maine.
Yeah, we do. So hopefully their kin got a nice like little package here. And then lastly, but not leastly, an IT employee also had a heart attack in the basement. Again, like, stress.
Is it recent?
More recent than the other ones.
Yeah,
because
I'm like, when did we start? When did we get IT?
I feel like I didn't look up when exactly that one happened, but I would guess probably 2000s or earlier.
Let this be a lesson to you. Don't be married to your job.
Don't be married to your job.
Let it
live
roll.
A little. Let it roll, baby. I think it's really easy
job
for...
Job is a job. I know.
Job's a job.
I feel like people who work at colleges...
Oh,
I
my
think
gosh.
They are... Well, think about it. You go to school for half of your life, and then you spend the rest of the time doing this, like, you know... At another school.
You become an expert in your very focused field. And, like, I think there's also immense pressure. Professors are always trying to get tenure, which basically is language for, like, then you can kick it.
Yeah.
For some, it's that way.
You have to get to...
But you have to get there, which is really hard, which requires, like, some colleges have the stipulation of, like, you have to be constantly... publishing something every year.
Yes.
There's like a minimum at times. You have to be seen. You have to be known. You have to become like a voice in your field to then become tenured, which is basically like guaranteed paycheck. It's different for every institution. Famously, though, we've heard of professors getting tenure at institutions, though, and then just fucking off. And they just collect a paycheck,
there are some people that...
It's interesting to me that that exists just because of, like, that possibility, though.
One thing that... What I ran into more is people getting tenure and that just allowing them to be batshit crazy. Sometimes good. Other times just sort of like, you need to, like, dial it back.
There are times where it's like you... And I'm not trying to knock professors. I work with a lot of them. And
I also, yeah, I loved most of my, like almost them. All my professors.
Yeah. And I mean, like, I've really liked it. But there are times where it's like you talk to a tenured professor. Sometimes they have like the weird hoity-toity, very snobbish attitude that is just kind of like, how do you like go about your day to day talking to people like this? It's very rude. But hey, whatever. Anyway, three people died at Hubbard Hall. We got a pretty high kill count for a college here.
For real.
For real, real. One night, a former security officer was roaming about the campus looking through things. He went through Hubbard Hall and was locking it down. As he was standing outside the large wooden doors preparing to leave, he heard a voice call out, "Hello?" Thinking he must have missed a student somewhere, he called out, and when he received no reply, he went through the building searching. He found no one, went back to the doors ready to leave. Same thing. "Hello?" Nothing. He went back, checked quickly, found nothing. Third time.
No.
"Hello?"
Nope, that's when I
say. And then he decided that whatever was calling to him was not going to be found, so he decided to fuck off.
I would have fucked off the first time. Because, like, I've had experiences where Allegra and I heard something, and I'm like, no, we're just fucking all the way off. And Allegra's like, no, we're going to discuss what the fuck just happened.
Yeah,
and
you
I
was just like, heard that.
I did hear that, but we're going to pretend that we didn't, my love.
I want a ghost experience. No. Do the ghosts know that I'm thirsty for ghost experiences?
I think so.
They're like, I'm not going to give it to you. It's like, I kind of have
They're
to,
edging
like,
you.
Dirty little ghosts. Ooh, I bet you want to haunt me.
Oh, I bet.
Another story. A custodian is working past midnight, late night cleanup crew. Not for everybody. Some people like the night shift. Yeah, not for me. There's a long rug, that runner, I guess is what you could say,
yes,
in the lobby in front of the Arctic Museum. The custodian was vacuuming. He rolled up the carpet, set it aside so he could start mopping. He went to the basement to fill his bucket and retrieve his mop. When he came back, the carpet was laid back out onto the floor in its original location.
Come on. I'm trying to get my job done. Fucking rude bitch.
Fucking rude as hell. So then he rolled it back up, was confused, then started his mopping. He was done with his mopping. He was happy with it. Let it dry. He left. When he came back, it was rolled back out.
I'm so mad. I would be so angry.
He told fellow custodians about the incident, and they were like, oh yeah, crazy shit happens. They're like, oh yeah, whatever.
I have a question.
But like, this individual that found the carpet, like, unrolled again, he like quit that day. I'm done. Bye.
I don't like that answer. I personally don't like that answer. Shit happened. Crazy shit happened.
Crazy shit happened.
No. If you do not stop these things from happening, this thing does not happen.
Here's another kind of funny story. And the author of the website may be
editorialized.
Supposes. I was going to say a fancier word, but I forgot what it was. That perhaps the building is being haunted by none other than Thomas Hubbard himself of the class of 1857. Mm-hmm. Thomas Hubbard actually lived in the building and has a suite of rooms that he would inhabit on the second floor.
How do you get that?
I think money, just giving a shit ton of money. I think, here's my theory. If you donate enough money to an organization, they'll just let you do whatever the fuck you want. Because they're like, he's the money.
Yeah. He wants to live in this building.
Go nuts, you weirdo. Yeah, right across from the Bliss Room. Sure, man. A lot of furniture in that area is, you know, pretty old, and there's an old liquor cabinet in the office that one individual that was working there would said at times would start shaking randomly. She would also notice that random things would start moving around the room, be in places she hadn't left them, like alarm clocks, other kind of papers and all that. But rather than, you know, getting scared, she decided to start leaving a couple brewskis couple libations in the cabinet. And then at that point, strange activities stopped. So I think the ghost just wanted his drinky poo.
I love it. It's like the pitcher man.
He's like, the pitcher man is just a party ghost, bro.
I love it.
It's like, I'm just here to have a good time.
Return of the party ghost.
We'll just leave it there. There are many other... Actually, no. I'm going to tell you one more.
Okay.
And this is going to be a quick one. So back in... there was a renovation that happened for a dorm. I believe it was a dorm called Appleton North. Mm-hmm. And as they were renovating Appleton, they reportedly found in the basement a secret hidden room that belonged to a fraternity lined with skulls and other weird torture implements. That story has been taken down, but who knows? Who knows?
So this is alleged.
Alleged. I think probably it's just like some goofins. It's yeah. Like, it's a fraternity, you know, it's like, it's not like, have you heard of like Skull and Bones, that weird like Harvard?
Yes.
Club.
The other thing, here's my other thing. What kind of, is this an S&M dungeon? Is this a no homo S&M dungeon?
That's also kind of like my thought. It's like how I would imagine old school hazing is sort of homoerotic in its own way.
I bet.
Yeah. A little all quiet on the Western front over here.
And they're like, whatever fraternity was involved, they're like, take it down.
Get her out of here.
I definitely, there's a part of me that.
It's not like the Prime Minister fucked a pig or anything.
No, there is a part of me
college.
That I do. There is a part of me that bets most fraternities. This is just me supposing everywhere. This is just speculation corner TM. Based on the things that I know about this country, I think that there are a lot of fraternities that would probably be like, we would rather. We would be more embarrassed and more like scandalized and like ashamed if people found out about our weird sex hazing rather than, oh yeah, we killed a man or we tar and feathered some black students.
I feel like if like there was evidence of like actual bodies in the basement, then that is like enough grounds to be like, well, there's a murder.
But here's the thing. What I'm trying to say is like they'd be like, well, oopsie, we committed a murder. But then they do everything they can to fucking hide the fact that they're like boning.
Maybe. Or B, maybe the skulls were actually skulls from the medical school.
That's all. If there were like
possible. If it's possible. Like confirmed. It big if true.
Big if true. Yeah, that's a lot. So, weird. Questions. Additional questions. Someone didn't want that story to see the light of day. Maybe it's just a very crazy urban legend.
Who knows? I feel like maybe, I don't know, if it was recent enough where, like, people knew. I think fraternities have been on the way out for quite a while at this point.
I think so, but have you seen sororities on TikTok?
No, I don't. I'm not on TikTok.
So there's...
I only get TikTok videos from your wife. She'll like send me TikTok videos and things are funny.
But like, so there's... Because Rush is a thing.
Yeah.
But you've got
the band? Oh, no. Oh, Rush Week.
Yes.
Thank you. Neil Peart, you say.
It's so Rush Week. You know, back in the day, it was like you dress in your homecoming dress and you sing a little song or whatever. Because people who were in sororities are like, it is totally different. Because now it's like full, like, 100-person sororities doing, like, TikTok dances. Like, not Harlem Shakes, like, choreographed, like, puts K-pop girls to shame, like, bullshit.
That's awesome, though.
But it's dope. Like, but it's also very Stepford-y.
Yeah, for sure.
So it's a little bit like, but I guess, I suppose, yeah. So it's a lot, but I think it does feel like people are more like, it's like sororities are in, fraternities are out.
I think fraternities have a pretty bad rap because of the dumbassery that it's occurred within them. And I mean, like, on the surface level, fraternities and sororities are also meant to be like houses where you do a lot of community service. And who knows how much actually occurs of that. So, I could imagine a college weighing, do these actually contribute anything versus are they just like party houses and like,
yeah,
just cause problems for us, you know? Yeah. I've always like wanted to imagine like a fraternity for nerds. Like, I don't know. I would probably, if there was a fraternity that like was just like a bunch of losers playing D&D in a basement, I probably would have joined it, you know, because I've been like, hell yeah, that sounds fucking cool.
Fuck yeah.
But it's like, yeah.
Greek yeah. life. I thought you meant ancient Greek.
Yeah, as a dragonborn ancient Greek. Well, that's our stories today. So, you know, we talked a lot about like old buildings, you know, 200-year-old college, but it's time for something that has maybe even more history than Bowdoin. Something that's a little bit more iconic than Bowdoin. And it's time for our next Mainism.
Hey, hey, it's a Mainism.
So I said that I went up to Acadia, and I passed a lot of these. And Jackson informed me that this is a meme.
Big memes.
Which surprises me.
Ancient meme.
So we're going to talk about dice arts.
This meme is in the Jedi archives.
So Dice Arts is a truck stop and restaurant chain, but they are most known for their buttery, flaky crust, specifically the outtakes from this commercial. And I'm going to see if this works.
Mine is baked in a buttery, flaky crust. Baked on a buttery, crust.
It's a old man and a wife, old couple.
Baked in a buttery, flavored crust.
Baked in a buttery flavored flaky crust.
Flaky, flaky crust.
Here we go.
Baked on a buttery, crispy crust.
Flaky. I like flaky over here. See, sure they have that cool card up there. Baked on a buttery.
Okay. And then it's fun. Like, the end is always also,
just keeps. It's pretty it just funny. Goes, it's like 2 minutes
and
of
then
this.
She fucks it up. It's.
Yeah, she tries doing the line. She's just like razzing him the whole time. And then, like, he's at this, you know, it's a 2 minute video of him just fucking up this one line. And she also can't get through it. Okay. Baked in a buttery, flaky crust.
Baked in a buttery, flaky crust.
Baked in a buttery, flaky crust. I don't know.
Baked in a buttery, flaky crust.
Too much lead poisoning, I guess.
Aww. But I didn't real like, I knew it was, like, Dice Arts is well known for this commercial, because Allegra had been like, oh yeah, you know, she referenced it, and I was like, don't know what the fuck that is, and she was like, excuse? And excuse. So she showed it to me, and then I was like, that should be a Mainism. And I think it's really funny. I didn't realize that it was... I knew that, like, oh, people know about it, but I assumed that it was, like, sort of...
That video, like, that blooper became viral for a good minute. Like, I remember seeing that way back.
Yep.
Whenever it came out, that's when, I saw it. Past whatever YouTube algorithms out there.
Yeah, let's see.
Let's see where...
Ten years ago.
That tracks.
Yeah. Yep. So, 2013... But I did think about stopping at Dice Arts when we were heading up, but
Could have had that buttery flaky crust.
Could have had that buttery flaky crust. But we decided to, on the way back, we decided to stop at Wild Oats instead.
Back to your old habits.
Yeah. I was like, we tried a lot of new stuff while we were up in Acadia.
Now
so
try something
I'm gonna
we
go
love.
Back to something that I love. But I thought that was... I think it's very funny that when I said Dice Arts, you were like, what? And then I brought up the commercial and you were like, I got you.
Yep. Familiar.
Very
understand.
Familiar.
Didn't realize it was a big chain. I thought it was like a diner commercial.
I mean, it is a diner because there is a diner.
Yeah.
I think the diner... So the diner is... in Bangor. Nope, just kidding. It is in Herman. So restaurants in Herman, and then there's also Dysart's on Broadway in Bangor. But then there are also other travel stops. Like, they have some other things that are related to Dysart's at this point, and they have, these are the ones that I saw, like, heading up through.
Gotcha.
I think we saw the one in Holden and the one in Pittsfield, I believe.
They seem to have some good traction, specifically along this corridor. But, you know, interesting main institution.
I'm really hungry. Those breakfast sandwiches.
Bro, I mean, I haven't had dinner yet, and I'm,
Right?
This is dangerous. Oof, give me that hash brown, bro.
Let's go up to...
Should we do a main food right review? Yes. And save that for a future mainism. We'll be reviewing Dysart's.
Yes, let's review Dysart's.
Perfect. Well, you know, if you're still listening here, we really appreciate it. And we appreciate you. And thank you so much for joining us here on this buttery flaky crust episode and this little hauntings that we got to chat about, along with other nonsense that we do.
Lots of nonsense. You can reach out to us at homegrownhorrorpod@gmail.com or on our Instagram at homegrownhorrorpod. If you have, what's your favorite thing about Dysart's? Have you experienced something creepy at Bowdoin? Or is the creepiest thing their prices? You can also reach out to us on Spotify now on the Q&A section.
Wow.
Or you can also leave us some stars and a review on Apple Podcasts. But the most important thing is the fact that you're here with us and you are going along with every twist and turn and tangent, and we love you for it.
You little freaks. You little freaks. We love it.
We love you.
All right. Thanks, y'all.
Bye.